Welcome to Career Tours. This week, three pieces of stupid interview advice. The questions this cast answers are, why should I be open and honest with interviewers? Why shouldn't you bring a notebook to an interview? And why shouldn't I ask, how did I do in an interview? For all our European listeners, Manager Tours will be in London in late March and early April. If you've ever considered having us work with your organisation, we'll already be in Europe, so that makes more economic sense for you. In comparison to our public conference, we've created a pricing model so that if you have about 10 people to train, it's break even for you. But to have us come to you versus sending your folks to our London public conference. If you have more than that, the remainder come basically free and we'll work with up to 30 people. We offer the same three standard training options: effective manager, effective communicator, and effective hiring manager. We'd be honoured to work with your organisation. For more details, contact Maggie at maggie@manager-tools.com. This guidance that we're going to give you today came out of several articles. About every couple of days, I get sent articles either for Three Random Things, which is the email I send out for licensees once a week, or for cast ideas, or just for my opinion. And often they are stupid interview advice. Sometimes people just send them to me with like an exclamation mark. And the problem with the internet is that it allows anyone to publish advice, and it doesn't matter whether they're right or wrong. The internet somehow gives them some legitimacy. So we're going to talk today about three particular pieces of advice that I was sent. People asked for my opinion, so you're going to get my opinion and why we think that you should do the opposite of what some of this internet advice advises you to do.
We're going to cover three topics. Don't give too many details on why you're looking. Bring a notepad to take notes and ask, how did I do?
These are fun. So the one that says, don't give too many details on why you're looking. So this advice began with, though it's important to fully answer your interviewer's question in explaining why you want to leave a job, keep your response to one or two sentences. Okay, well, we don't disagree with the length, but then it says, then point the conversation back to why you're the best person for the job. And then underneath that, it had a list of acceptable reasons for wanting to move to another job. And the implication was, instead of being truthfully persuasive, the important part of that being truthful, that you would just choose one of these acceptable reasons and use it, like whether it was truthful or not. You wouldn't give your real reason, you'd just choose one of these acceptable ones. And then you would direct the conversation back to what you want to talk to as quickly as possible.
Well, that's great. That's a really nice little try, I guess. Let's be clear, though. First, the only good answer to this question is the truth. You know, why would you be untruthful? If you were fired, you have to say so, even if it's not in this article's list of acceptable reasons. And second, you don't control the interview. You answer the questions the interviewer wants to ask to the depth that they want to ask them. And you don't get to direct the questions or avoid topics that you don't want to talk about. So not only is this article saying something that we don't recommend, but it's kind of saying something that's a little bit not appropriate, right? I mean,
yeah,
it's right. Not appropriate to say, oh, this is why, when that's not why you're leaving your job.
Yeah. So let's take those two parts individually. So the truth, the only good answer to this question is the truth. You can't just choose an answer like choosing a number at a Chinese restaurant. Like, that's not how it works. And remember that the company you're applying to may well check references. And as part of that process, they'll ask why you're leaving. And if you were fired and didn't say so, and the company finds out that you had been, it's 20 times worse, 100 times worse than being fired in the first place. As they say in politics, it's not the crime, it's the cover-up that matters. So it doesn't actually matter that you've been fired. I know a bunch of people, including Mark and I, who have been fired and now have good jobs. So being fired isn't the end of the world, and it isn't something to cover up.
Oh, absolutely. You guys, you can still get a job if you've been fired. It's going to be okay. There's this common hiring aphorism that says that past behavior is the best predictor of future behavior. And a hiring manager projects into the future and imagines you doing something stupid that costs the company money, and it's okay, we've all done it, it's a big deal. But instead of telling the manager, you cover it up. And he finds out weeks later when the consequences appear. Instead of being able to get out in front of whatever it was, the hiring manager will be on the back foot. They're being raked over the coals for not only the mistake, but also not knowing what the staff are doing, not having a truthful staff. And now the hiring manager, your manager, he's in danger of being fired himself. At that point, when you engage in this behavior, his imagination says, yeah, don't hire this person, because that's the scenario that's going to come up in the future, right?
Like, the moment he finds out that you were fired and you didn't say that, that whole scenario unreels in his head in like 2 seconds. And then, I don't want to get into that. Like, I'll hire someone else.
Yeah, I would like to avoid this problem. We've all made mistakes, and some of us have been fired for them. It hasn't stopped us getting other jobs later in our careers. And so we recommend that you just tell the truth. Just be honest. Also, having done this before, having just been like honest, it feels better, guys. It feels so much better to just say, well, actually, the circumstances under which I'm leaving are not ideal, or something like that. It's just so much easier hiding it. You know, the shame, the fear, the worry surrounding that just compounds the issue that you're already in. And so
keeping your stories straight.
Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh. That's such fear. There's a Mark Twain quote, I think, that's like, if you never lie, you never have to remember.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I'm misquoting it, but that's close.
Isn't everything attributed to Mark Twain? When I was fired, I was shocked by how many interviews I went to afterwards. And I would say they fired me and they go, okay, and just keep going. Like, they wouldn't even ask why or if it was reasonable or if I was worried about it. Like, they just didn't ask. It just didn't bother them. Often, I think, because if they've already decided you're a good candidate, they're looking for reasons to say yes, which is the wrong way to hire. If you're a manager, go read the Effective Hiring book or listen to the hiring cast. Like, you should be trying to say no, not yes. But most hiring managers are trying to say yes. So if they decided they already liked me, then the being fired piece wasn't relevant to them. And the one person who asked me to go into detail, I went into detail and she said, well, they're ridiculous. I wouldn't have fired you. And I was like, oh, okay, thanks.
Oh, that must have felt so nice.
Yeah, it was really good. In the middle of an interview when you're like completely stressed and like, not wanting it. In our experience, telling interviewers something negative is not the end of the world. It doesn't stop you getting jobs. The other thing you might be thinking is, well, the hiring manager is never going to find out. I'll lie. I'll choose one of these reasons from the Chinese menu and they'll never find out because my company doesn't give out reference information. A lot of companies now only give dates of employment and job titles because they're worried about being sued if they say something positive about a candidate and then they go and work for another company and they turn out to be a bad hire, then the second company will sue the first one based on their references. So a lot of companies only give job titles and dates of employment. And so you might be thinking, well, that's right. My company only gives job titles and dates of employment. They won't say I'm fired, so I'll be fine. But the person checking references might catch someone, the boss or HR, on a bad day and they answer the question before they've even thought about it. Or there's a new person who doesn't know that they're not supposed to give details. Or the hiring manager has contacts in your current company and he will get the information on the down low. There is a multitude of reasons or a multitude of ways that information that you've been fired or some other negative will get back to the potential hiring manager. So you cannot rely on the fact that your company only does dates and job titles to believe that they'll never find out that you were fired.
Also, what are you going to do if you do get the job and you stay there for 5 or 10 years? You're just never going to mention it. It's never going to come up. Like, what happened at your old job or something like that? It's going to come up because once you're in, you feel like, oh, it's fine. But if you fabricated the reason or you aren't truthful, then you have to spend the rest of your career at that place hiding something.
Yeah. It's like being married and divorced and then never telling your second husband you were married before.
So true. It's like there's no way because you'll slip eventually, right? You'll say something. Yeah. Good. So this isn't a Chinese menu. You have to be honest about what happened and be truthful about it. That's our first piece of bad advice that we're debunking. Also, because you don't control the interview. The article says, keep your answer to one or two sentences and then direct the interviewer back to what you want to talk about. Their example actually was, I love my role in coworkers, but I've come to a point where there are no longer growth opportunities on my team. Can you tell me a bit about growth opportunities for this job and what the company does to develop employee careers?
And the idea being, like, ask a question and then the interviewer will be encouraged to answer and talk about the job and be distracted from the fact that you never told them why you left.
Yeah. Yeah. The idea that you can direct an interviewer comes from the notion that an interview is a two-way street or maybe a conversation in which you're assessing the company. And we have news for you. It's not.
It's not news if you've listened to any other podcasts from us on interviewing.
Right. When you're in an interview, you have no control. You can't force getting an offer. You can be persuasive, but you can't force. You can't reject an offer because you don't have one yet. So you have no control right now. I guess you could stand up and walk out, but that's going to make no difference to the company. Don't ask questions until you're asked if you have any. And by the way, this isn't a good question. It's really too focused on selfish motives and kind of what's in it for me thought.
Be truthful and persuasive. This means if you were fired, you have to say so. If you were laid off, you have to say so. If your performance was poor, you have to say so. You can follow up with what you learn and how it will be different in this role or how this role is different. For example, I was fired. The company and I agreed that my performance on the last project was not up to standard. I learned a lot, and I'm looking forward to applying my strengths to new projects where I know I can succeed.
Mm-hmm. Or something like, I wasn't performing well as a manager. I realized that management isn't something I'm ready for, and I'm looking forward to being an individual contributor again, using my strengths and the knowledge I've learned about how best to support a manager. These answers don't redirect, and because there's nothing that isn't about why you left, you're not shutting down the ability of the interviewer to carry on asking about that topic if he or she wishes to do so.
Have you ever wondered what Mark's thinking and reading about when he's not writing and recording podcasts? You can find out. Mark sends an email out once a week to licensees about just those things, from business, politics, to golf, and the people he meets. Things I Think is the most popular email we send. To get it and a host of other benefits, purchase a personal license. If you go to manager-tools.com, look for the products drop down in the menu and choose personal license. The next one is bring a notepad to take notes in an interview.
Oh dear. This advice said, have a notepad with you and ask permission if it would be okay with the interviewer for you to take notes during your discussion. Then make sure you take some notes. Even if you have zero intention to take notes, bring it anyway, and you can pretend to take notes to make yourself look smarter. Wow. Wow. Gosh, this is just, it's like subterfuge, but like, seriously?
It's mind-boggling. Like, first, what are you going to take notes about? Like, are you going to take, there's a series of questions. You're going to use the practice you've done to answer those questions. Are you going to write down the questions they ask you? And if you are, why? Like, for what purpose? There's no good answer to that question. Like, I mean, even if you thought, oh, well, that'll help me practice for the next interview because I'll know some of the questions, the second hiring manager isn't going to ask you the same ones as the first hiring manager. So it doesn't help you in the slightest.
There's also, though, that as hiring managers, the few times we've had candidates ask if they can take notes, we've, of course, said yes to be agreeable. However, it's so out of the norm, it immediately puts that candidate into the weird category. And weird people don't get hired. if you're trying to make a kind of parallel to this, imagine asking if you could take notes on a first date.
Yeah.
That's how weird.
That's how weird it is.
Yeah, that's how we feel about this recommendation. Okay, both of those notes, though, leave out the third part here, which is pretend to take notes. What? Pretend to do something that's already weird. It doesn't make you look smart, guys. It makes you look even more weird. Hopefully most of us stop pretending when we go to high school. Let's not take it up again during a job search when the stakes are really high. It's not a good time for that.
It's just so strange. You'd be like, oh, my pretending skills are really good. They thought I was taking notes. That'll help me in the job. when I pretend to take notes.
In a meeting, you're just pretending to write down things. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And not writing down the real stuff. I don't know. It's just so out of the... There's only one reason to have a notebook or a note card with you, and that's for the questions that you want to ask the company. If you find that you forget what you wanted to ask in an interview, then this is acceptable. But please, though, don't pull out a huge notebook and say, I've got a list. Someone I interviewed once did that. She brought out letter-sized pieces of paper with like 8-point type and bullets all the way down the page. And the person hiring and I looked at each other and kind of went, oh, we're going to be here for a while. And we were. So don't do that. It's scary. But just say, I just have a couple. If you don't mind, I wrote them down to make sure I remembered them. I have them here. Don't make out that there's a lot. And you don't have time, usually, to ask a lot of questions. So you really do want to narrow it down to your top five and then think that you probably will only ask the top two. Because the hiring manager wants to spend the majority of the interview talking about you and your experience so they can work out whether or not it's worth further interviewing you or making you an offer. They're not going to leave a lot of time for your questions.
Yeah, the purpose of this is for them to ask their question. You don't have an offer. You're not in a position to ask questions yet, really. You can ask some questions, but the purpose of this time is for you to convince them that you're a good fit. And so your questions should be directed in that area. You're going to have plenty of time to ask questions if you get an offer. You can ask all the questions you want about all the kinds of things in the offer. And doing it now is jumping the gun. It's presumptuous. It's selfish. And it's not going to help you get an offer. So...
to go back to the first date analogy, it's like saying, do you want to get married in a church on the first date? Like, no. Like, it's way jumping the gun. So. So the last one is ask, how did I do? So this advice said, before your interview ends, ask this one last question. Have I said anything in this interview or given you any other reason to doubt that I am a good fit for this role? It says, it's bold, but if delivered honestly, it displays true desire and confidence. I've been commended for this specific question in interviews. In one situation, the interviewer actually said yes and gave me the chance to clarify something that would otherwise have lost me a job offer.
Okay. Well, just because an interviewer commends you for something in an interview doesn't mean that you did well. An interviewer's job is to find out if you're right for the role that they have and also to sell you on the role. And this often means being nice to you and they ordinarily wouldn't be, or being complimentary when, in fact, perhaps you did not do great.
Yeah, no interviewer ever says that's a stupid question or that's a stupid answer or, you know, as your manager might say to you in a meeting if you say something that doesn't make any sense or is too much for the situation. No interviewer ever gives you feedback about your answers during the interview.
Yeah, gosh. Hiring managers hate giving feedback. There's a number of reasons for this. First, they don't have good answers about why one candidate is better than another. The general standard of hiring is low, and managers hire by gut feel, which is really a euphemism for the equivalent of sticking a pin in a map.
And second, when they do have a clear reason, they don't want to say it because they think that the candidate will argue with them. In fact, this is what the advice says, right? That he asked the interviewer and the interviewer gave him the chance to say some more about something. So he asked the question, the interviewer gave him something, and he literally argued with it because he said more about whatever the topic was. In my imagination, it goes something like this. The manager said, I'm not sure you have enough project management experience. And the candidate says, oh, yes, I do. Let me tell you all about it. And the manager doesn't want to be in this position. It's being dictated to by the candidate. And again, this is the manager's time to decide whether or not you're a good fit. It's not your time. It's their time. And no, in a good game, you have to take turns. It's not your turn.
It's not your turn. It's also important to keep in mind that the difference between candidates is often really small. The difference between the person who gets the offer and the one who doesn't isn't often a function of something that a candidate left out of an interview more than it's about the other candidate having something extra. So they can't tell right now. And also, you might be the first candidate they're interviewing.
Right.
And now you're arguing with them because you think you're smarter than them, which I'm not suggesting that you might not be. However, proving it isn't going to help you get an offer either. Making them feel like you're cooler than them isn't going to really help out.
It tends to be that in all conversations, trying to prove that you're smarter than someone else, it doesn't matter. Either you're not or you are. And either way, they don't like you anymore.
Yeah. Doesn't make anybody feel good to be proven the lesser person.
Feedback is a benefit to the candidate. It's you saying, what else can I give you to make you hire me? Or what else can I take away from this that I can use in future interviews? And putting them on the spot to give you some benefit and making them squirm doesn't endear you to them. If you get an answer, it'll either be not true, in that they'll say, oh no, you were fine, or no, there's nothing else. Or it'll be so wishy-washy, like, I'd prefer it if you had a qualification in project management, but it's not a big deal, that it's not helpful to you at all. The hiring manager is the wrong person to ask for feedback from interviews.
There's another way that this question is sometimes asked, right? Which is, what else can I tell you to convince you to hire me?
Right. And the hiring manager hears, what else can I make up to convince you to hire me, right? What candidate is going to ask that question and then get from the hiring manager, I'd like more project management experience, and then go, oh, I haven't got any.
Yeah.
Right? They're not going to do that. So whatever the answer is, it's going to be positive. And since it can't be positive because not everybody has every single skill, it can't also be true.
Yeah. If this is the route you're going down, we strongly suggest that you can reconsider. This is about being truthful. Again, we've talked about being truthful and giving yourself an opportunity, I guess, to, you know, it's almost like trying to rehash some of the questions. Like, oh, okay, let me try again on the question. It's like, well,
yeah, you didn't like my first answer. Let me give you another one, a different one. I've got another number on the Chinese menu.
I decided I don't want dumplings.
Yes. So if you want good advice, don't go to random people on the internet. That's my advice. At a minimum, consider whether the person giving the advice has the experience they need in order to give you the advice. A lot of the time, you see this particularly in people who rewrite resumes for you. If you look at that person on LinkedIn or somewhere where you can find their experience, they have English degrees, they have fine writing masters, and then they go do resume writing. And there's nothing wrong with those degrees, but they have no knowledge of what a resume is supposed to do, how it should be written, what convinces hiring managers, because they've never hired someone. So the resume might have beautiful sentences in it, but it's not convincing. That person can't help you. The person who can help you write a resume is a person in the industry at the right level who hires people. Now, it's not necessarily someone you want to work for, or somebody who has an open job, but it is someone who's pretty close to what a hiring manager for the next job you want will be.
Yeah.
And at the other end of the scale, you can buy our interviewing series. We've got, I think, 60 unique podcasts that you don't get in any of the free feeds about how to prepare, how to go into the interview, how to break down the interview and understand what's happening and what should be and what your aim is at each segment, how to follow up, all of that stuff in one neat little package. And if you can't afford the interviewing series, we have free podcasts about interviewing. If you go to the website, go to the front page, in the top right, there's something that says Map of the Universe. Click that and then click Changing Jobs and you'll see interviewing. Mark and I have been recruiters in all sorts of industries. Mike hired people. Kate's been hiring people. We have the experience to give you good guidance rather than these random people on the internet. Thanks, Kate.
Thanks, Wendy.
That's it for this week. We'll be back with a new topic next week.